We're going to discuss regeneration today, and this is a term. It's a doxology term, what they would call a doctrinal term. But the statement was, the understanding was kind of made famous in the 70s when President Carter was asked about his religious beliefs, and he referred to himself as a born-again Christian, and that became a more of a popular term in our culture. And at the heart of the matter, it's all about regeneration. And that is the reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth in the form of man, so that he could bring us new life. And you look here at the definition of regeneration, and we see that it is a combining of some words. It means rebirth, reborn, born again, new life, where something was dead, now is alive. And we see in 2 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, it tells us that if anyone is in Christ, so if anyone has been baptized into the salvation of Jesus Christ, has accepted his sacrifice at Calvary, believes that he is the Son of God, sent to earth by God, take on the form of man, to live the perfect life, to be presented at Calvary as the spotless lamb, to die for each and every one of us, and to die in our place at Calvary for our sins, for the payment of our sins, the debt that we owed God because of our failures, because of our sins. The second that you believe that, it says that all things have passed away, and behold, you have become a new, recreated, born again, regenerated being. And this morning we're going to talk about what that means and some basic understandings, and to blow away some of the fallacies that get associated with it. Okay? So in the Bible, there's a couple places it talks about it. In Revelation, it talks that, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. And it tells us again that all the former things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne says, behold, I make everyone new. And all the former things of this life, the failures, all the things that we let people down, let God down, let ourselves down, that has all been passed away. And behold, we have been given our new heavenly bodies. We are regenerated. And this is a term, regeneration, that we take and we apply it on an individual level. That God comes to us and he presents us with new life. We are individually reborn. Now, there's also a place in the Bible, and it talks about where this is done on a corporate level. And in Matthew 19:28, this is Jesus speaking, and he says to them, assuredly, which means I speak to you with the utmost certainty, with utmost, you can put your utmost faith in the words I'm about to tell you. And it says that when the Son of Man sits on the throne in his glory, those of you who have followed me will sit on your thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And that is the new King James Version. That's usually what I preach out of. I have told you this before, that the classical Amplified Version is what I read when I study the Bible on my own. Okay? And this is what it says in that version. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new age, which has come to be known as the messianic rebirth of the world. So here's what I need you to understand, and where we're going to start from this morning is that when God does things, he does it through Jesus Christ. All things that were done, the Bible tells us all things that were done, everything that was ever done was done through Jesus Christ. We have to start there because Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the only way. I am the gate. I am the door. We went through all those seven statements that you find in the Gospel of John, where the I am statements, and he is excluding himself from all other pathways to anything dealing with God the Father. Jesus Christ is the only way that God does anything through. It's always done through Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. And the second thing that we need to understand is that when God does something, he does it completely. We talked about the lady in the high school, the middle school class this morning, the lady who had the blood disorder, and it says that she was healed immediately and completely. And she knew it and she felt it. And she knew that she was healed completely. So when God does things, he does things completely. Last week we talked about atonement. And that was the underlying crux of everything that we believe is that, and all the things that we build on, is that God sent Jesus Christ to die for all. He sent Jesus Christ for complete atonement. Not for a certain segment of the society or those who were chosen eons ago by some happenstance or some decision that we're not made familiar with, but that Jesus Christ was sent to die for all. General atonement. We talked about that last week. And this morning, when we talk about regeneration, we need to understand that when God does things through Jesus Christ, it's done completely. And here's what he's saying here, is that at some point when Jesus Christ comes back and he puts the devil into his prison forever and he wipes away the old earth, he wipes away the old heaven, he will bring rebirth back completely, not only on an individual level, but on a corporate level where everything is reborn. And it's reborn through Jesus Christ. And that should give us great satisfaction that there's not a stain, not one little instant or little microbe of failure that results in this world is still there that can break apart, or what's that, mitosis? I can't remember the biological word. Last time I had biology, it was in the 80s, so I forgot it, okay? So whatever happens when bacteria spreads, okay, none of that's going to happen. And it's because God does things through Jesus Christ, and he does it completely. So when we talk about regeneration, we're not only talking about it being done on an individual level, but at a complete corporate level for all. All right? So let's talk about the basis of regeneration, what's going on and what the Bible explicitly teaches so that we understand and we come with the understanding of everything that can and is available to each and every one of us. And the first thing that we need to understand, and we talked about this when we talked about the depravity of man, is that there must be rebirth in order to go to heaven. Ephesians says that he made us alive because we were dead in our sins. We have to be reborn, because if you're not washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then the Bible says that you are still found in your sins, and the explicit definition of that is that you are dead. You might be alive, but you are dead on a spiritual level. In Romans, in verse 10 and 28, I kind of jammed those together, and it says, it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and his righteous standards. That is the whole reason why Jesus Christ came to die for each and every one of us, because no angel could take that job on. No other created being could ever take the cross, and you and I are not capable of providing salvation for ourselves. It can only happen through Jesus Christ. So regeneration is needed, and it's needed because of our depravity, our moral failures that we are found in. It's necessary, and Jesus Christ says this, that most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is in a conversation with a religious leader, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, who came to him at night and asked him, how are you doing these things? What's the understanding? What is your teaching? And Jesus Christ just flat tells him, unless you are born again, put it into more into the title sequence here this morning, unless you are regenerated, you cannot go to heaven. And verse 5 tells him, most assuredly I say to you, because remember Nicodemus comes back with that famous rebuttal, what am I supposed to pass through my mother again? Remember he asked that? And Jesus answers him and says, most assuredly, I say to you, so this is with all certainty that you could ever find in this life, These words are true. I say to you, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so regeneration is necessary because of our moral failures, because of the original sin that has been passed down to us. And if you want to reach God the Father, it has to happen through regeneration. You have to be born again, reborn, made new. And the only way that that happens is by God through Jesus Christ. 2 Peter tells us that grace and peace is multiplied to us. And because of this, we are given a knowledge from God and through Jesus Christ, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Tells us that he blesses us with all things according to life and to godliness. Regeneration is complete. Understand that. Regeneration is complete if it's done by God through Jesus Christ. And through the knowledge of us who is called, and through the knowledge of his calling, by his glory and by his virtue, by which he has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promise, that we may be partakers of the divine nature. So at the heart of it all, Jesus Christ gives us all things. Now let's understand what he's saying here, okay? What is regeneration? What is happening here? We're going to tighten the circle, as we say. We're going to speak on an individual level. And what happens is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and all the things that are associated with that at Calvary, and that he's the Son of God, taken on flesh, died for us, lived a perfect life, all that. Once we accept that, once we accept his sacrifice at Calvary for the payment of our sins that we owed to God, okay, once we accept that, then the imagery that I want you to understand is that Jesus Christ comes to us and he finds us covered in our sins, covered in all of our failures and all of our depravity. And I want you to understand that he takes that off of us. He pulls that out of us. All the ugliness, all the pride, all the sin, all the horrible things you've ever done or will ever do, he pulls that out of you, removes it from you. In fact, it says it goes down to a DNA level, and it says that it removes your nature. Now, what's that mean? It means that all the things that come to you naturally, which the Bible tells us is our very best things, are dirty rags. That's what the Bible tells us. Because we are depraved. We are without God. We are without Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. And because we are without the Holy Trinity and God, then we are depraved. We are found in our moral depravity, our religious depravity. And we are in need of saving. And Jesus Christ comes and removes that natural ugliness from us. The things that come naturally to us, he removes that from us. And then he takes his righteous nature that he has, and he places that inside of us. So that now we are regenerated. And even though we're covered up still in our flesh in this life, we have a new nature that is built inside of us. And it's our job to feed that nature and to allow that nature to blossom inside of us. Too many of us have it sitting in the guest room, okay? Or the room where nobody's allowed to go into, because when you open that door, everything falls out, all the stuff you've hidden from everybody else, all right? Some of you even got him living in the garage, okay? Like a stepkid or something or whatever, all right? So let him live. Let him flow. Nourish that. Build a relationship with that. His righteous nature has been placed inside of you. And then he takes that ugly nature that he pulled out of us, puts it on himself from each and every one of us that ever lived. He covered us with his sins. He took it off of us and put it on him. And then he marched it up to Calvary and put it to death on the cross in crucifixion. And when he put it to death, now listen, where do we start? God does things through Jesus Christ completely. And listen, when he puts those sins to death, He puts them to death completely, as far as the east is from the west. Now, will you continue to sin in this life? Yes, because you're still covered with your flesh. But understand there is a righteous nature that is placed inside of you. And that's what the promise is right here, that we are partakers of the divine nature. All right? And it's not just a, listen, this is one of the fallacies that we need to wipe away today, is that this can be done on a individual self-imposed level. That you can be made a better person and meet some kind of moralistic level to where God says, well, you are such a good person, I got to let you in. That is not what is going to happen. What has to happen is that you have to receive the righteous nature of Jesus Christ. That's it. And if you haven't taken those steps to receive that, then I hate to be the one to inform you this morning, but you are found in your sins and the Bible declares you dead spiritually. All right? So he gives us all things. He does not withhold anything back from us. In fact, he says he doesn't withhold anything back from us. He gave us our very best, and the very best was sent to die for each and every one of us. And because of that, and because of who he sent and what he did, we receive a new nature, and we're made a new being, and we're rebuilt from the inside out, regenerated. And it's given to those who believe, but as many received him, to them he gave them the right to become children. And what is this saying? Is that once you receive that nature, you are brought into his family. You're brought into his fold. And it says that you become children of God. And you are born not of blood. That's a good thing, right? Because the blood that we received from Adam was not good blood. But we received a blood transfusion, so to speak, a spiritual transfusion through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've been given the righteous nature of Jesus Christ, now his blood flows through our veins. That's what the song says, right? And it says that we were born not of blood or not of the will of the flesh. You see that right there? That's saying you can't impose a self-improvement program on yourself and get there, but you have to do it by accepting Jesus Christ and accepting his righteous nature and his sacrifice at Calvary. That is the will of God. And once you are renewed, once you are regenerated, then you will receive everlasting life. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus Christ speaking, he who hears my word and believes in him and who sent me shall get everlasting life. They shall not be judged as those who are covered in their sins, because they have passed from death into new life. They are declared not dead in their sins, but they are declared regenerated by the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteous nature, which is placed inside of us. And John 11 says that Jesus speaking, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He is speaking explicitly here about regeneration. Because we are dead, what has to be resurrected? Things that are dead. All right, so we were dead and we are resurrected. We are resurrected by Jesus Christ because he is the resurrection. There is no other form, no other process except through Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, you may die, but you will live because you will pass from an earthly body into a heavenly, everlasting existence with him in heaven. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Because you have been given a righteous nature, you have been regenerated, you get to cheat death in the pain of death and the curse of the grave. And we also receive a knowledge that can't be found in any other form on this earth. It only happens through the regeneration of Jesus Christ. It says, don't lie to one another, speak truth to each other, preach truth. For those of you who have put off the old man, as Christ has taken it off of us, with all of his deeds and all the things that he is guilty of and all the things that he deserves punishment for, and you have put on the new man, as Jesus Christ puts his righteous nature on us, and you are renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So what does this mean? With regeneration, you get a very special gift. Is it everlasting life? Of course, that's a very special gift. Okay? It also talks about a knowledge you will receive. Okay? So are you going to download like an encyclopedia set and then download complete and all that? Nope. Here's what the very special gift is. It's the promise and gift of Jesus Christ. Okay? And what does that mean to each and every one of us? All right? So it is the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we are regenerated, and when we say that we accept Jesus Christ into our lives and we accept him to live in our heart, what is placed there is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us. It gives us knowledge. It teaches us. It chides us. It corrects us. It gives us advice. Do this. Don't do that. And when we do wrong, it convicts our heart and our spirit. And the promise is that it does not speak its own words. It speaks the words of he who gave him to us, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and it speaks the words of Jesus Christ. And those words are given to Jesus Christ by God the Father, because Jesus Christ is always operating in the will in a submission to God the Father. It is the perfect harmony of the Holy Trinity. And when you are regenerated, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And too many times, we listen to the wrong voices. We listen to the wrong advice. When we should be going to the Lord in prayer, and we should be asking for the gift of discernment, okay? Not for the gift of sight. You understand what I'm saying there to you? Too many of us are wanting to see things and see things with proof, physical evidence, proof. And what the Bible says is that faith is the ability to take steps without any visible proof. It is the understanding and the reliance of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us with words of Jesus Christ, who is submitting to God the Father. All right? And it says there that with kindness and love, a God toward man appeared, not by the works of righteousness that he did, but to, according to his mercy that he saved us with, through the washing and the regenerating and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And what this is telling you is that through regeneration, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's time that we nurture that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that happens through prayer. That happens through Bible study. Okay? And let me just say this. As amazing as my sermons are, if this is all you're getting, it's not enough. Okay? All right? You have to have a private time each and every day. Jesus Christ, we see so many times it talks about him getting up early in the morning, okay, and sneaking out into a deserted area where he could have private time where he prayed to God the Father. So let me say this. If Jesus Christ, the perfect, blameless Son of God, needed some private time each and every day with God the Father, don't you think me and you need to get it done too? So I'm telling you that so many of us are going out to war and we're unarmed and we're not prepared. And it's because, and I get it, the schedules are full. There's so many activities. There's so many, you know, things going on. And people mandate your time and your attention. But I'm telling you that you have to take time to spend one-on-one with God the Father. And let me ask you this, when you go through a trial and a tribulation and you're struggling through that trial and tribulation, let me ask you, have you given this away to Jesus Christ and say, you take it and tell me how to handle it? Because too many times we want to steer and we just want the approval, you know, of the Holy Spirit in the back. Like, yeah, I guess this is good, okay? But what he's wanting to do is to take over the steering wheel and to drive. But too many of us, our faith is lacking. We're so caught up in the control issues that we deal with that we just don't have the faith and the belief. And remember, what's the enemy of faith? Fear. Fear is the enemy of faith. So if your faith is lacking, ask yourself this. What am I fearful of that's keeping me from taking this step in faith? What's holding me back? And I promise you, it's some kind of fear. Because the gift is there. If you're regenerated, the Holy Spirit is there. He's inside of you. It's your obligation and your duty to listen to him and to abide by him. Now let's blow away one other fallacy here, okay? Because it talks about in Jesus' words, for those who are born of water, all right? And then there's been a lot of misconstruing of the Bible and misinterpretation and misunderstanding about what that means, okay? And so many times it's like salvation happens with baptism, or, you know, there's some kind of special thing that has to happen, all right? But let's just say what the Bible says here, okay? And the understanding is that the second that you believe and accept Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, sent by God the Father to live a perfect life, to go to the cross, to die for each and every one of us, and you accept that sacrifice as the payment of your sin, of the debt that you have towards God, we believe that you are regenerated at that very second. And you, at that very second, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that you're ready to get on a caravan and go preach nation to nation and teach Bible studies and all that stuff, because there is also the process of sanctification, which we talk about a whole bunch here. All right, the process of maturing and becoming more saint-like and handling things more appropriately and growing up in the Word. But you do get salvation. You do get regenerated, and you do get this gift of the Holy Spirit at the point of belief. It does not come later, all right? And we also believe that baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. It is a celebration, all right? It is a celebration. It is also an explicit example, an explicit instruction set forth by Jesus Christ as found in the Scripture. But here's what we need to understand is that when Jesus Christ talks about being born again through water, here's what we need to understand is that when we go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible, when God is creating, and this is going to be a restatement of something I've already said this morning, it says that God created heavens and the earth, and on the earth it was without form, and hovering over it was the Holy Spirit. And it says there that he started to create, and he said, "Let there be light." This is where we find the Holy Trinity in the first three verses explicitly detailed in the Bible. God the Father is there, God the Son is there, and the Holy Spirit is there. All right? And we have said that the Bible explicitly tells us that all things that were done, all things that were created through Jesus Christ. He creates and does through Jesus Christ. All right? But the form, but the vehicle, the things that present the change and the things that present regeneration is the gift through the Holy Spirit. And what is hovering there over the water, but the Holy Spirit. And John said, in John, Jesus Christ is speaking, and he understands what is found in Genesis. He understands what God, he was there, right? So he's got a different point of view than most people. And it says, on a great day, the last day of the feast, Jesus Christ stood up, and this is what he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me," it says there, "as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, what does that mean? Is that we're going to burst forth with water? Does it mean that we have to go out and start baptizing everyone or doing stuff with water or certain ceremonies or anything? The explicit understanding here is that in the Bible, when Jesus Christ refers to water, he many times is referring to the Holy Spirit. And what he is saying here is that if you accept me as your Savior, you will be changed at an internal level completely, and you will burst forth with knowledge. You will burst forth with love. You will burst forth with forgiveness. And what is that bursting forth? It is the Holy Spirit living through us. It's not our ability to forgive, right? It's not our ability to love that we depend on. But it is the ability that we receive as the Holy Spirit lives through us, because the Holy Spirit is the gift that was placed inside of us when we were regenerated. And it says there that in 1 Peter 1:22, "You have been purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren. Love one another with a pure heart." because you have been born again. You are not born again of a corruptible seed like you were in the original birth, but of an incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now here's the story of this. Are you ready? The Word of God, if you've got a Bible on your phone or in your hands at this very moment, I want you to know that you're holding a living, breathing organism. It is the Word of God. Amen. It will come to you. It will speak to you. And that happens because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says that you are saved by hearing the Word, because the Word spoke to us. And the Word speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. So it's time to nurture your relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you can get the gift of discernment and get it at a deeper, more intimate level than what you possess now. And you get it at a level by reliance on the Holy Spirit and understanding what it's saying to you, because the Bible will speak to you, and it will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel, at the very beginning, says, I'll give you a new heart. Pull out the old ugly heart, and I'll put in a new heart. Take out the heart of stone, I will put in a new perfect heart. And I will put in my spirit, which will cause you to walk in my statutes, keep my judgments. I will put, Ezekiel 37, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, because you were dead without it. And I will place in you and put you in your own land. I will give you an inheritance. I will make you a son. I will give you all the rights that come from a father to a son. I will adopt you as if you are my own. I will call you my flesh. And if you know anything about adoption in this day and age, it came to the point to where all the debts, all the transgressions that you were guilty of before, once you were adopted into the new family, were wiped away. They were wiped away forever and ever, never to be revisited ever again. And this comes with evidence. There should be evidence of your regeneration, of your new life. And what is that evidence? It says that we know that we have passed from death to life because we are regenerated. We are given a righteous nature that replaced our dead nature. And it says there that we know this because we are capable and able of loving our neighbors and our brothers. And he who does not have the ability to love and to forgive and show mercy and grace to his brothers still abide in death. And by this, they will know that you are my disciples if you are capable of loving one another. You can't rely on yourself. You can't rely on the old nature. It only happens as God changes us through Jesus Christ by giving us the Holy Spirit and implanting that into our nature, making us a righteous nature. So many times we talk about these terms and we talk about things that have happened to us and the changes that have happened to us. Here's where we need to start today, with the acknowledgement that all things happen because of God. Not because of us, not because of might or any army or any strength. It all happens because of God. And the next thing that we need to acknowledge and realize is that it happens because of God. And there's only one avenue, and that is through Jesus Christ. And we need to build and center our lives on Jesus Christ. And when troubles and tribulations hit, it's time to look to Jesus Christ for the answers and for the pathway to victory. Because God has the victory, but he can only present it to us through Jesus Christ. So when we start talking about centering our lives on Jesus Christ, it's not just words. It's just not something you put on a keychain. It is a life-changing way of life that can only happen if you allow the Holy Spirit to live through you. That's the understanding of regeneration. That's what's happening there. That's what we need to understand and rely upon, is that the only way I get through this life appropriately is by the Holy Spirit living through me. And that gets there when I center and dedicate and surrender my life to Jesus Christ, who I can trust because he always operates in the will of God the Father. And if you want forgiveness of your sins, if you want everlasting life, if you want the knowledge and peace that only comes through Jesus Christ, then you need to be regenerated and receive the Holy Spirit and rely upon him for the rest of your days. That's regeneration. It's more than just coming down and praying a prayer and getting up and saying, I guess I did it. And then you come talk to me and I say, well, I really need to body slam me in some water one Sunday in front of everybody. And like, okay, sounds good. All right? The stuff we do here is of utmost importance. It's life-changing. And when our eyes are open and the scales are taken off, and we truly understand what regeneration means, and that I'm required to center in my life on Jesus Christ and to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, then we become different creatures because of who is living through us. So if we really want to impact the world, if we really want to change this community, then it's time that we quit telling each other that, well, El Dorado's done. Saline County's terrible, okay? And it's time that we center our lives on Jesus Christ and say, hey, anything's possible with you. And if the Holy Spirit's living through me at the appropriate level, then I become a vehicle of change, not only for myself, but for other people. And we can change the world. But it has to start at an individual level, also at a corporate level, where we come together in one spirit. The Bible says in one spirit, one Savior, one salvation, one baptism. Get the point there? Who's that all centering around? Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. At the heart of Christianity, if you boil away everything else, what you would be left with is regeneration. Without it, there is nothing else. So let me just say that if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then to put it into appropriate terms that you can regard here this morning, you have not been regenerated. And if you have been regenerated, then it's time to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way with you and to get the pride and the ego pushed aside and let yourself surrender your life to Jesus Christ so he can use you for what he created you for. And you can be a vehicle where people experience Jesus Christ in the first person as the Holy Spirit lives through you. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm going to open up the altars to you this morning. And if you need to reflect on how the Holy Spirit is living through you, are you a change agent? Are you someone who people identify as a disciple because of your love? Then come up and let's pray about it. If you've got something just hammering you, you got tests coming up, or you've been given bad news lately, or you're filled with anxiety or fear, or you got a fear you can't get past, come up and let's pray about it. If you got the world by the tail and you say, I couldn't get any better, man, then let's come up and give Jesus Christ the victory and the glory for all the great things going on in your life. Let's get prepared for when it's not so great. And if you have never been regenerated by Jesus Christ and you have never accepted his sacrifice or his salvation, come up and make the best decision you can ever make in your life. I open up the altar to you this morning.